Welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim, and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will have several segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program is After Bix, and I'll tell you in a minute what I mean by After Bix. As usual, I will have a couple of Bix's recordings, and for the contemporary musicians, I will turn to Lino Petruno and the Red Pellini Gang, a group of talented Italian musicians. Let's start with the After Bix segment. Although Bix played with several bands in his career, he is identified principally with four bands: the Wolverines and the orchestras of Gene Golcat, Frankie Trumbauer, and Paul Whiteman. I will focus on the first three and ask the question, what happened to those bands after Bix left? Let's start with the Wolverine Orchestra. Bix was with the Wolverines from the very beginning. Towards the end of 1923, the clarinet player Jimmy Hartwell took over the band playing at the Stockton Club in Chicago and hired Bix, Bob Gillette, George Johnson, and Dick Voynoe. By December of 1923, the band was named the Wolverine Orchestra, and with the addition of Min Liebrook and Vic Moore and Al Gandy, we have the band that made the first set of legendary recordings at the Jeanette Recording Studios in Richmond, Indiana. For the first 8 months, the Wolverines played in various locations in the Midwest. One of their notable successes was in Bloomington, Indiana, the home of Indiana University, where Hoagie Carmichael was studying law. Early in September 1924, the Wolverines drove to New York, and on September 12, they opened at the Cinderella Ballroom, where they appeared for about a month. In October of 1924, Bix left the Wolverines to join the Gene Golcat Orchestra. What happened to the Wolverines after Bix? Their contract at the Cinderella was not renewed, and they moved down to Florida after hiring Jimmy McPartland as the replacement for Bix. Apparently, things didn't work out in Florida, and they came north. Eventually, the Wolverines recorded for the last time on December 5th, 1924, In the spring of 1925, they struggled to survive, mostly in Indiana, but by the summer they faded away. Without Bix, the Wolverines were, as described by Dick Sotholder in Lost Chords, a pretty turgid bunch. Let's listen to the last recordings by the Wolverines. First, Prince of Wales, spelled W-A-I-L-S, and then When My Sugar Walks Down the Street, with a vocal by David Holland. So here they are, the Wolverines without Bix. Thank you. Without Bix's drive and geniality, it is clear that the Wolverines weren't much of a band. Well, let's turn now to the Gene Goldcat Orchestra. Unlike the Wolverines, the Gene Goldcat Orchestra existed before Bix. But the phenomenal reputation of the band is directly related to the addition of Bix and Tram as hot jazzmen and Bill Challis as arranger. The Gene Goldcat Orchestra started in 1922 at the Greystone Ballroom in Detroit. Bix joined the orchestra for the first time in 1924, but only for a couple of months. Things didn't work out, and Bix left. He joined again in September of 1926 with Tram. In October of 1926, the Gene Goldcat Orchestra had an engagement at the Roseland Ballroom. It was a phenomenal success. By November 1926, they were back in Detroit and the Great Stone Ballroom. In January of 1927, the orchestra went east again to New York and for its second engagement at the Roseland Ballroom. In February, they were back in Detroit. And from February to September of 1927, they spent time in the Midwest and in the East. On September 15, the band cuts with the Bix and Tram its last record. But what a way to end. One of the recordings at that session was Clementine. Gene Goldcat's number one orchestra had very serious financial difficulties and could not continue. The musicians went to various places. Bix and Tram joined Adrian Rollini with the New Yorkers. After his number one band broke up, Goldcat was still busy in the Midwest with the McKinney's Cotton Pickers, the Orange Blossoms, and the Vagabonds. The Gene Goldcat Orchestra still recorded for Victor during 1928 and 1929, but by the end of 1929, the Victor recording contract ran out, and the Gene Goldcat Orchestra disappeared. I'd like to play a couple of sides from the post-Bix Gene Goldcat Orchestra. The first is Here Comes the Showboat, recorded in December 14, 1927, with a trumpet section made up of Andy Sechrest, Nat Natoli, and Sterling Bowes. This will be followed by She's Funny That Way, recorded about a year later on January 17, 1929, the trumpet section being made up of Nat Natoli, Earl Baker, and Sterling Bowes, with vocal by Van Fleming. So here is the post-Bix Gene Goldcat Orchestra.
Here comes the showboat. Thank you.
come, come, cabin boy.
Uncle Tom.
Yes, little leaf.
Showboat. Here comes the showboat. Pop, 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 and the frog.
This is not the Gene Golcat Orchestra in its heyday, but they still were pretty good. Let's turn to Bix for a moment. I will play from Monday on and I'll do an experiment. In his article, Bix Beiderbecke, a 50th anniversary evaluation of a legend, published in the August 1981 issue of Classic Wax, Steven Stroff says, and I quote, "Yet, The best examples of Beiderbecke at his improvising best are the three existing takes of From Monday On with Whiteman. Not only did Matty Malnack arrange two full choruses of Bix leading the brasses, but he also adapted Bix's improvisations to the strings section for the first and last time in a Whiteman recording, and gave him a 32-bar solo at the outset. The earliest take, number 3, with Jimmy Dorsey playing third trumpet and Steve Brown slapping the bass for all it's worth, was the best. Still, we must count ourselves lucky to have three takes of an extended Bix solo, for each is entirely different. Splicing the three solos together in whatever order you choose, though 4-6-3 works the best, you will get 96 bars of uninterrupted Beiderbecke cornet, finding new paths with the song's trite melody, bringing us closer to the Bix of legend. So here is Bix with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. First, we'll have take number 3 of From Monday On, recorded on February 13, 1928, and then I'll play the three solos from takes 4, 6, and 3 in succession.
Every day was blue day, till you loved me true. Say all my tears have gone away. From Monday on, my cares are over. From Monday on, I'll be in clover. We picked on Monday because it's wash day, and we'll wash our blues away. From Monday on, the skies will look bright. Don't tell me different, I know I'm right. I'm gonna start shouting, hey, hey, when he says love, honor, and obey, 'cause I'll be happy from Monday on. Thank you.
my care.
Wasn't Bix remarkable? This is more than extemporaneous improvisation. Bix was a composer, and his creative genius and powerful imagination allowed him to choose exactly what notes to play at any moment. Let's return to today's theme, After Bix, and let's talk a little bit about the Frankie Trumbauer Orchestra. Unlike the Wolverine and the Gene Goldcat orchestras, which were performing bands, the Frankie Trumbauer Orchestra, at least in the 1920s, was just a recording group made up of musicians from the Paul Whiteman Orchestra. The first recording session of Frankie Trumbauer with Bix took place in New York on February 4, 1927, and it was a historic session. Three recordings were the result of that amazing day: Trombology, Clarinet Marmalade, and The Immortal Singing the Blues. Bix recorded 42 sides with Frankie Trumbauer, at least, and the last one was on April 30, 1929. When Bix departed, the cornet solos were taken by Andy Sechrest, and Frankie Trumbauer continued recording into the 1930s. I chose two sides from the Frankie Trumbauer Orchestra After Bix, both recorded on October 10, 1929. First, Turn on the Heat with Hoagy Carmichael on piano, a vocal by Smith Ballou, and sound effects by the amazing Joe Venuti. This will be followed immediately by Sunny Side Up with Smith Ballou on vocal and a great guitar work by Eddie Lang. So here is the Frankie Trumbauer Orchestra After Bix.
Start melting the snow.
if you are good, my little radiator. It's understood you'll get a gumdrop later. Turn on the heat, pour in the oil, start in the bubble and come to a boil. You put the burn on for Papa and turn on the heat.
Frankie Trombauer Orchestra after Bix did not have that special light that Bix brought to everything he did, but they were good musicians and provided high-quality music. Incidentally, the two Frankie Trombauer records that I played come from a magnificent three-volume set by the Old Masters entitled Tram, Frank Trombauer's Legacy to American Jazz. All right, now for the contemporary musicians in today's program, I want to turn to Lino Patruno. Nino Patruno has been in the jazz since the 1950s. He has made recordings with such jazz greats as Joe Venuti, Wild Bill Davison, Bud Friedman, Spiegel Wilcox, the list goes on and on. He has produced several TV specials. Very important series entitled Lino Patruno Tells the Story of Jazz has one segment on Sidney Bechet, another on Louis Armstrong, a few others, and of course one on Dick Beiderbecke. Among the bands that he led, I cite Lino Patruno and his Bix Sound. Among the albums to his credit, I will only mention the ones directly related to Bix: Remembering Bix, Singing the Blues, Bix Memorial. All of these were for the Italian label Carousel. Lino Patruno was the musical director and co-writer for the Pupi Avati film Bix, an interpretation of a legend. In 1997, Lino Patruno and the Red Pellini Gang recorded a CD called Bix and All That Jazz. I chose one cut from that CD. It is Sentimental Baby. So here is Lino Patruno and the Red Pellini Gang. Cornet player is Carlo Capobianchi, and he does a good job of bringing back the sound of Bix. Overall, the group does a good emulation of the traditional sound from the 1920s. Well, let's get back to Bix now. We have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 2 weeks on WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for another edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.